Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Whee! That was fun. Wow. Well, they didn't get this one wrong. The snow came in. It's nasty out there. It's a tough, tough commute. It's a tough commute. I really would recommend everybody out there, if you do, I know they always say it, but Mark, I think you would back me up on this one. If you do not have to go out today or this morning, do not, because in some parts the roads, like I came in from Lakewood, and I didn't think I was going to get out of my neighborhood. I mean, it was just heavy, foot of snow, just cement, and I actually got stuck getting out of my driveway to get out, shovel, and some parts were wet, but even the highways out here on I-25 by the tech center are really snow-packed and wet, and don't go out. It's
I grew up in Alaska, and I'm just going to say this as a public service. If you're the type of person that drives a Jeep and has to have your flashers on, then stay home.
Stay home.
Stay home.
Yeah.
Right.
You're driving hazards on. Yeah.
I get if you got a small little car and you got hazards on, but if you just don't know what you're doing, stay home.
If you don't know what you're doing.
I mean, this is how you grew up. Like, this was the way. Well, you grew up in.
Oh, I grew up in New Hampshire and went to Syracuse. No, I'm comfortable driving in this stuff.
Right. Exactly. But it's tricky. Don't overcorrect because there's some berms and everything else that you get your tire in and you start to fishtail a little bit and people panic. And so one dude that was off the road and, you know.
Always remember, turn into the slide.
Mm.
Slow. I know it's like leaning into a punch, but turn into the slide. So, no, it was, we got here. Took me, what is it? Normally about, from Lakewood, it's about a 25-minute drive for me. This one took me about 50.
Did it?
Yeah.
My commute was about the same.
Was it?
Yeah. But, you know, I just jump on I-25 right there at Lincoln and
I had to pull over once because I've had my truck for several years, but I've never had to go to four-wheel drive low. And I had to go low to be able to get out of my neighborhood.
You had to drop it low?
I had to drop it low. But then when I got out of there,
you got enough back to do it.
Then when I tried
right?
to... So then when I... When I... So then when I tried to put it back into just like regular four-wheel drive, like it's beep, 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 beep. And I got like, you know, the traction lights off.
Yeah, remember back in the day you had to go out and lock the hubs and then you had to put it in reverse for a while.
So I'm like, all right, why? So I stopped, you know, and I, you know, put it in park and tried to put it back into four. Wouldn't it still beep, 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 beep? I'm like, all right. So I just pulled over, put on the dome light, took out the owner's manual. And found it and like, oh, okay, put it in neutral and then do this. And then everything stopped and it was blissful the rest of the way. So,
we are here.
If you are with us, the great 6 a.m. listeners, you're maybe going to be working from home. But don't go out if you don't have to. But if you have to, give yourself some extra time because this was definitely an above usual commute for us. That is for sure. Meanwhile, in sunny Miami last night, the Nuggets just clamped down on the Heat again. Masterful fourth quarter execution. But I think what made this one interesting, Mark, was how the bench really took control of this game, put this game away in the fourth quarter. Reggie Jackson was out there. Christian Brown was out there. And, you know, Michael Malone just, you know, decided with the backing of Jamal Murray and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, hey, these guys are playing well. You know, isn't the best thing a coach can do is try to instill confidence in their players? And if they're playing well like that, is the ultimate sign of I've got confidence in you? Hey, yeah, I'll let you try to finish this game out. Go for it. You guys are playing well.
Well, there's not only that, but you're also basically saving minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's that thing that, hey, man, you know, managing my team is the most important thing over the wins. Well, you're doing both. You're 10-1 out of the break, and guess what? You gave Murray and Caldwell Pope some time on the bench, you know, some valuable minutes of rest and everything else. And it's not much, but it accumulates over time if you can do that. And we've talked about this bench. We've talked, like, do you feel right now, like, oh my gosh, we're doomed. A month ago, it was like, we don't have Bruce. Oh, no Brucey. Like, what are we going to do? Do you feel differently? I feel decidedly different about the bench right now and the way they're playing compared to how I felt about them 6 weeks ago.
You can see the confidence.
Yes.
I thought watching Christian Brown especially, he was taking threes with confidence. He was driving to the rim, pulling up with confidence. So they've done a great job.
Reggie Jackson's been good. Earl Gray had another couple nice shots yesterday. Peyton Watson, Earl Gray. Yeah. I did tell Malone I renicknamed him on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you like that?
He was not,
It wasn't effusive in his ha ha ha.
All right. He was just like,
One. All right. Why don't you lose my number?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that in there. I don't know if he liked Mr. Tibbs either. But,
He said yesterday, he goes, I have 18 sons and 2 daughters. He takes his relationship with his players very seriously, looks out for him. So,
is that calling a couple of guys on your team his daughters?
No, he's got 2 daughters.
Oh.
We gotta lead to like controversy.
He's got two daughters.
Wow,
that's pretty 18 stern. Sons. Okay, no, it's no. not like so he's not pulling a Parcells.
No.
Yeah, she's doing okay.
No,
she's doing okay.
No. Meanwhile, the Avalanche. Wow, the Avs continue to be the best clutch come from behind third period team in the NHL. They did it again last night, and this one is even more impressive because you're on the road in Vancouver. You know the Canucks are up for this game.
The Canucks are up
for this game. They are loaded for bear. They jump out on the Avs. The Canucks, they jump out on them 2-0, play a fantastic first period, build a lead to 3-0. Avalanche are playing back-to-back games.
Right.
And you know how most professional sports teams are in those situations. It's just not our night. The schedule got us. Let go of the rope. Instead, the Avs just battle back, and end up getting the game into overtime. And then Val Nichushkin, in the face! He, a puck deflects off his visor into the net for the game winner. That's when you know you're hot. When pucks are going in off your face.
Yes. So,
good night for both the Nuggets and Avs. You want to react to it, you can. Rommelslaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043. This message is from Brett in Loveland. We've been out plowing streets and sanding since midnight. Roads are brutal. Stay home. Let us do our jobs. Been looking forward to your show since we got in. Thanks for the great entertainment, guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, thank you for all you guys.
Oh,
dude.
All the plows out there. Thank you, all the plow drivers, everybody out there shoveling. Really, really appreciate the hard work so we can get on with our lives. Up next, well, the Broncos did it. They are clearly ready to rebuild. What's the quarterback plan moving forward? That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to it.
This is happy music. Did I tell you what happened to me yesterday? Leaving here?
No.
I got stuck in the elevator.
Okay. I did too for a little bit. How long were you stuck?
Probably about 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's about the same time. And was it making that really weird noise?
Yes. Yeah, yes. I called Johnny and I said, hey, man, you might want to take the stairs. I said, tell Amanda or whoever.
Yeah.
You know, whoever we need to, maybe our IT people. Do they work on elevators or IT people?
I don't think so.
I saw them the other day turning on and turning off a computer. So that's like, hey, that'll work.
Hitting it upside the side there.
This should do it. This damn thing. What the hell's wrong with this?
I had the same thing happen.
And then it bypassed, the second floor is the lobby. It went all the way down to the basement. Yep. And then finally it opened. But I don't know about you, but I got a little bit like, ooh, this is not.
Really? Do you think you'd get like claustrophobic or something
No. I was just like, I could see how people get really, because it was making so much noise and it was just so slow. And I was barely creeping. Like, it was like sneaking up on the basement floor.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
As long as it's not like making that obscene noise like it was, if it was just like quietly stuck, honestly, it wouldn't bother me if I got stuck in an elevator for a while. You know, just got to have a chance to just kind of relax for a while.
I put my bag
got a
down.
A lot of stuff going on.
And I thought about sitting down. I was like, well, let me see what happens here. But yeah.
I wouldn't mind it being stuck in an elevator. A couple hours, okay, sure. I'll just kind of chill out and have some me time. The Broncos sending a very clear message about what their plan is for this year, as they cleared out that cap space, and we were wondering, what are they going to do with this cap space? And then the first couple of days of free agency go by, and they don't make that many moves. And so you're like, okay, what's the plan? Well, it dropped yesterday, because on the first day of the league year, they officially cut Russell Wilson and decided, out of the $85 million dead cap that they have to swallow, they decided to take on $53 million of that this year, which certainly puts a real crimp in what they're going to be able to do this year. But next year, they should have well over $100 million to spend on improving their football team. But they got to get through this year.
Yeah.
Do you agree with the decision? Absolutely.
And then it makes sense why the bidding got too rich for Sam Darnold.
Right.
They just, man, and so here's the thing about this, about, you know, rebuilding your team and being in a rebuild like this, is you've got to have some fiscal responsibility, something they haven't had. And, yeah, I'm all good with that, man. I am all good with that. So, by the way, does good riddance mean something that I don't? Like, is good riddance a derogatory?
Yes.
Good riddance is...
Oh, yeah, good riddance is... don't let the door hit you on the backside type
stuff. I thought it was just kind of fairly well.
Oh, no, like...
Because I got a lot
of... Good riddance!
I got a lot
fair,
of...
Fare thee well. Yeah, no, it's more like... good riddance.
Oh, because when I said...
See you later.
Like, because when I responded to Will Peterson's ridiculous household names text, you know, Justin Simmons was in there. I was just like, hey, good riddance to these guys.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, obviously I love Justin Simmons,
right.
But, you know,
yeah.
I understood.
So that
irritated people a little bit.
Yeah.
So what I would like to do is apologize to absolutely no one.
Oh, come on.
I don't care.
Well,
hey, man, listen, I love Justin Simmons. He's won exactly nothing since he's been here, like everybody else since they've been here. Absolutely nothing. And I want championship quality football. So guess what? Tough. Sometimes you need a little tough love. Sometimes you need to look. None of you are victims. You all got paid, and it's time to move on. So stop it. Hey, people get their panties in such a wad. Relax. Untuck the panties.
I wouldn't have used the word good riddance. I would have been like, okay.
It's two words.
Yes, I would not have used those two words.
Okay, but I think the only thing that people had a problem with was Justin Simmons was in there.
Okay, yeah. Good riddance is a derogatory term. It's like, hey, psh.
Like, yeah, piss off?
We will not miss you. But, yeah, you probably could have come up with a nicer way of saying it. Like, hey.
I guess we didn't
win a whole lot with you. This isn't the worst direction to go in, but no, in typical stink fashion, bull in a china shop. It's just good riddance.
I didn't realize that good riddance was.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
Yeah, I didn't realize good riddance was such a people looked at that as such a derogatory term.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
it's a blow off term.
Yeah,
but
I just thought it was like, hey, all the best to you on your way.
Yeah, no,
be nice.
No, that's not it at all.
All right,
so. Now you're
looking, you learned something.
So now,
learned something today.
Now you're looking at a situation where by doing this, you are making it easier next year, but you are making it more difficult this year, especially since 20% of your cap for this year is going to go towards this $52 million dead cap hit.
Mm.
And so we're figuring out the idea that you can you can handle a big dead cap number at the quarterback position if you keep the overall quarterback room fairly inexpensive. It's why Tampa was such, and Tampa's the model A in this whole conversation, because they were carrying Tom Brady's $35 million dead cap hit, but they were fortunate, shrewd. They went out and they signed Baker Mayfield to a one-year $4 million deal. So their quarterback room wasn't over-the-top expensive, and it worked for them. But for the Broncos, you've got $52 million with Russ. You got about $5 million for Jarrett Stidham. So what does that tell you? It tells us why they haven't signed a quarterback yet. Mark, I got to believe there's only one more quarterback coming aboard here. It's either going to be somebody they sign, trade for, or draft. But it's going to be only one. They will not sign a free agent or trade for a quarterback and then go out and pick a quarterback in the first couple of rounds.
So you're saying there can be only one.
There can be only one.
That's like Highlander.
I know.
Rogue, great movie. You should watch it. 80s.
So am I wrong? It's Stidham and one more quarterback. I mean, they got DiNucci. It's Stidham and one more.
You could draft two quarterbacks, and then DiNucci, just depending on, like, you could take somebody at 12 if you decided that, you know, Bo Nix is your guy, or Penix, or whoever your guy is, and then you could move on. You could move on later on, and maybe Spencer Rattler is available in the third round or fourth round. You could take a flyer there too if you wanted to. I mean if that was your thing.
But you understand you're looking at adding one quarterback or maybe two more, but you probably only are looking to spend a grand total of about $4 million.
Well, the guys
on that one quarterback or two young quarterbacks.
The guys who are out there now, I mean, Mason Rudolph signed. Titans.
There's nobody really left.
No, there's nobody that, you know, blows sunshine up your skirt.
There's nobody out there that is worth signing that's going to be appreciably better than Stidham.
Correct.
So to me, the only other option is, besides drafting a quarterback, is trading for Sam Howell. Because his contract
is
team friendly.
Right.
Other than that, I don't see the value of bringing in another veteran quarterback. It's Stidham and then rookie to be drafted later, whether it's first round or second or third round.
DiNucci also have Tommy Cutlet's agent? He also represented by Tommy Cutlet's agent?
Maybe.
Because that'd be really cool.
The agent went into the New Jersey Italian Hall of Fame.
Forget about it. Right?
I think Tommy Cutlet's, Tommy DeVito fired him. I think he moved on to a new agent. I think he thought his agent was getting a little too big for his britches. He was getting a little bit too much attention. Attention hog.
Oh, man, that's not going to go well with the family.
Well, yeah.
Man, I mean, that's ballsy.
Be careful as you're driving around out there. Mark and I both had our commutes in, and they were rough. Doable. I mean, you can do it, but if you don't have to, don't bother with it. Morning Brew coming up next. We'll hear from Michael Malone and Jared Bednar after both teams got big road wins. That's next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Great night last night for the locals, both on the road. We'll start with the Nuggets as they just clamped down on Miami in the fourth quarter. Suffocating defense. They go on to get the win. Michael Malone acknowledging that, going after the first seed in the West is important to me.
I hope people understand when I say health is paramount, I've never once said we don't want the number one seed. And we'll surely take it. It was great to us last year, and that allowed us to have home court advantage the entirety of the playoffs, which helped us win the first championship in Nuggets history.
So, with the win last night, The Nuggets move a half game ahead of Oklahoma City. They are tied in the all-important loss column.
Mm-hmm.
But the Nuggets have played one more game. They have 46 wins. Oklahoma City has 45. But 10-1 since the All-Star break. And the Nuggets now on top of the Western Conference, where I believe they are going to stay.
I do too.
They are so locked in right now.
I do too. And like you had mentioned, the bench is playing with some confidence. They're playing really good basketball right now. They're locked in. Like PJ Watson's playing great. Earl Gray's playing great. Brown's playing great. Reggie Jackson was really good.
Why don't you explain as delicately as you can in only Mark Schlereth style why you're calling now Peyton Watson Earl Gray?
Yeah, I want to call him PJ, but Peyton. Too many Peytons in this town, by the way. Am I right?
That logjam may be whittled down here in the not-too-distant future.
You think after the draft, there may be one less Peyton?
Maybe.
Yeah, the one that doesn't spell it with a Y? Is that
maybe,
what you're telling me?
Maybe.
All right. Because he jumped over...
Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic's head and dragged D's on him.
D's?
Yeah, D's.
D's what?
Yeah, D's. Nah!
Next on the Morning Brew... there is no deficit that the Avalanche cannot handle as they fell behind on the road in Vancouver 3-0, roared back, tied the game, went into overtime, and then a puck deflects off Val Nichushkin's visor off his face into the net for the game-winning goal.
In the face!
In the face! So for Jared Bednar, he loves how this team is able to persevere and rally.
You're not always going to get that result, but you want to make sure that you're playing the way you can play, as hard as you can play, with good habits all the time, right? And if you don't get the result you want, you prepare to do it again the next day.
Process. Just embrace the process.
Right.
Keep doing the right thing over and over again.
And eventually,
over the long haul, you will be rewarded richly.
Yeah, we were talking about that one-timer McKinnon got in the last game.
Yep.
Camped out over there on the left-hand side once again.
His office.
That is his office. And just Slappy McSlapperson. I'll tell you what, man. I just sounded like John.
You sound like John Gruden right there.
I tell you what, man.
Spider banana.
Yeah, they got into spider 2Y banana.
The Avalanche, that was their 21st comeback win, tied for the NHL lead. It's the third time they've overcome a 3-goal deficit, most in the NHL. And I know you love these obscure stats that, come out of nowhere and you can kind of bend the numbers. But doesn't change the fact. First time in NHL history, the Avs are the first team in NHL history to have 3 games in a season where they trailed 3-0, but allowed no goals the rest of the way and came back to win.
How many times have they done it?
3.
3 times?
And they made NHL history in doing so.
That's big time, man.
At Dallas, and all on the road, by the way. That is actually what makes it even more interesting to me. At Dallas, at Toronto, at Vancouver. Next on the Morning Brew, the Broncos decided to eat a big chunk of the Russell Wilson dead cap. The $85 million of dead cap, they chose to go with $53 million of it this season. So, Mark, I saw this trending yesterday. Maybe the grand plan at quarterback is being revealed before our very eyes. Tank for Shedeur Sanders, who, as of right now, is going to be the presumed top pick in the draft next year. Tank for Shedeur. You think that's what Sean Payton's doing?
No. But is there a possibility of that happening? You think the Broncos are going to be the worst team in the league?
No.
I don't either.
No. The worst team in the NFL last year
Carolina Panthers.
Was Carolina. Chicago gets their pick, but Carolina went 2-15. So, and then the next group of teams went 4-13. So you're talking about to be the worst team in the league, it's 4 wins max is the most you can have.
This team will win more than 4.
You think so? I think so.
Maybe not many more, maybe 5 or 6. As currently constructed, but I don't know what their final roster is going to look like.
Well, remember last year I caught all kinds of flack for saying embrace the tank, which maybe now you might want to apologize to me. Maybe I was onto something then, back then. But are you more open to the idea of tanking next year?
I will never be open to the idea of tanking. You don't tank.
Okay.
You don't.
So you don't think these moves, especially it
goes
taking
against,
this...
You think about tanking, what it goes against everything that you believe.
Well, yes and no. I have no doubt that Sean Payton's going to try to do his best and players are going to try to do their best. But you as an organization can do things to help sort of nudge along the tanking process. And doing something like this, taking on this much cap space... Isn't that the kind of move that teams that maybe are trying to tank make?
What I'm talking about is tanking for players that have an 80% fail rate or 70% fail rate, whatever they are. I'm not interested in tanking for, and I'm not saying Shadur will have a fail rate of that, but we just don't know. So... That's why I think winning is important, regardless.
Finally, on the Morning Brew, the local college basketball tournament recap. Let's see. Air Force lost, Wyoming lost, CSU beat, a little peskier than expected, San Jose State. So CSU moves on in the Mountain West tournament. CU tonight will host, will play Utah 9:30. Our time, so stay up late for that one, and more tournament action coming up today. CSU will be playing against Nevada. That'll be at 7, so nice college basketball doubleheader tonight. You can watch CSU at 7, and then the Buffs at 9:30. Don't look at
9:30.
Yeah, you'll be up for that entire game. I know you will. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Troy Rank from the Denver Post joins us next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents.
Troy Rank is our Denver Post insider. He joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Troy, I no doubt is nice and secure and warm in his home. He has no intention of going out today. It's going to be a work from home day today, isn't it, Troy?
It absolutely is that. I imagine you two are in. I had visions of Mark riding a lawnmower into the station today with a cowboy hat on or something.
No, but I did. I did thatch mow my son's yard, fertilized mine, my son's, and my neighbor's yesterday.
You're an animal. Just an animal.
Just before the rain. So things are going to be, they're going to be greening up around my house.
Troy, did the decision to eat 52 million of the 85 dead cap number for Russell Wilson, did that move surprise you at all?
It did not. Not the way it started to unfold when I wrote last weekend. I mean, the Broncos are rebuilding. Whether or not Sean Payton uses that word, he's ultra competitive. I don't know that that word will come out of his mouth, but I mean, I joke, he could be on HGTV with a hard hat on and a sledgehammer. He's not going to say they're rebuilding, but they are. And this is what it looks like. And it makes sense to eat the money this year. It's a reset year. You can still be competitive in a reset year, but there's no sense in trying to go, what are you going to buy at this point in free agency that makes any sense, that's going to make, you know, the difference between what if it's 7 wins or 8 wins or whatever that number is. So it doesn't surprise me. It hurts. It's painful. But is it any more painful than the last 8 years? This has been necessary, frankly, since 2017, if we're being honest. So it did not surprise me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And you can see why Sam Darnold all of a sudden slipped out of their, slipped out of their grasp. They set a financial kind of restriction, if you will, said this is what we're willing to spend on a quarterback. So speaking of the quarterback then, is this what we got? DiNucci and we've got Stidham and they're going to draft somebody? Is that what this ultimately looks like?
I still expect them to try to get a veteran in here, Mark. I mean, I've mentioned Sam Howell for the better part of a couple of weeks as someone, if you wanted to trade a 6th-round pick for, you see that Washington is positioning itself to move on from Howell. I like him. He may not be the future, but you to win this quarterback position and to solve it, you've got to throw darts at it, right? And so Howell's young. Maybe he's Baker Mayfield light. You bring him to a new system. He did a lot of good things early last year, and then he played hero ball and got sacked way too much. But there's real talent there in terms of what I've seen. There's potential. And so if you bring him in with Stidham, maybe only one of them makes the team and you draft a quarterback and you have Danucci as your practice squad guy, that's an option. But it may end up where, you know, maybe it's Jimmy Garoppolo on a cheap deal, but he's going to be suspended for the first couple of games. So I don't know how that fits into all the plan, but I still expect a veteran quarterback in here. It's just when you look at what's left now, I'd rather they trade for someone than sign someone that's available as free agent.
Yeah, I agree. As we visit with Troy Rank with the Denver Post, and you've been covering everything since you went back to writing for the Post, and your view of the Avalanche before their trade deadline moves to what you think of them now.
I mean, their best trade deadline acquisition is Val Nichushkin, Chuchu. I wrote about him today. I'm on this delicate balance you're in where the human is more important than the headline. We all want Val well. But there is the question in sports about, you know, performance and tolerance. And is he reliable? Can they trust him? And they believe so. But when he's on the ice now, I think they're 67-19-9 over the last 2 years. They are a Stanley Cup champion team when he's on the ice. And then you add Mittelstadt from Buffalo. He is such a huge upgrade over Johansson. I mean, you could have had a Jonas brother at second line center, they'd have been better off. That experiment was awful. The Beakers exploded. It didn't work. But now you get Mittelstadt in there, you add Walker, the defenseman, and more than anything, you've got Val looking great, and he's healthy, and there's no disruption there. They like him. He's not the face of the franchise trying to come back. He doesn't ever say anything. All he does is just play good hockey. And the guys, whether it's reluctance, acceptance, or it's just we need him back, I think they know, Mike, they can't win the cup without him. We want him well. That's the most important thing. But if he's healthy and well and reliable, for me, they can win the cup. That's the team I see right now. And they have a second-line center. And also, you saw that comeback last night. I mean, they're just – that might have been their best win of the season, down 3-0 on the road against a really good team, and they come back and win. So they're in a good spot right now.
Yeah, and I think one of the big things where the Beaker didn't explode, the Bunsen burner was on low, and the backups for the Nuggets. Troy, I mean, we're watching it before our eyes with Brown, with Watson, with Reggie Jackson, Najee. That question mark seems to be getting answered here down the stretch about this bench.
Well, what I love about it was Reggie Jackson. He's been on the struggle bus at times this year, and his confidence is starting to grow. And last night he got hot in the fourth quarter and made what, 3 shots in a row, extended their lead. And Jamal Murray is sitting over there getting ready to go in at the scorer's table, and he tells Malone, hey, keep Jackson in. He deserves to finish this game, and he and Christian Brown finished the game. Brown has been inconsistent this year, and he last night he looked like the guy we saw in the playoffs. And Reggie Jackson at times has been hard to keep on the floor because he's got to make shots. He's got to make shots. He scores 8 points, but he scores 10. And last night you saw a Nuggets team, and you're like, wow. That's a team that can win the championship. I mean, that's the team, and there's no Bruce Brown in there, but Christian Brown played like we thought he was going to play this year, and Reggie Jackson's nailing big shots. Michael Porter Jr. has played amazing since the All-Star break. I think he's averaging over 20 a game. Jokic is Jokic. Jamal in fourth quarters has played well. The team we've seen over the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, that's a team that can repeat and win. Now, they got to be healthy. Yeah, things go right. We understand that. But, man, are they clicking right now. And especially, again, when you're doing it on the road. They had a big lead. You give it up. And then you just – they are the best team in the fourth quarter for me in the NBA. And that's what I love about them. They are so comfortable in their own skin. There's no panic in their game, whether it's the bench guys, whether it's because of Jokic. There's just a trust level that, hey, if this game's close, we're going to beat you. And as you know, Mark, that is such a huge asset – for a team that has to win in the playoffs. Being comfortable with your skin and knowing how to win late. And that's why I think they have an edge going into the postseason.
Check out Troy's article with the Denver Post on Val Nichushkin today. Troy, great stuff. Thank you.
You're the best, guys. See you.
Troy Rank from the Denver Post on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Four down territory coming up next.